Welcome to episode 423 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The picture of marriage is an important image that God has given us, calling us to a higher understanding of who He is and how He relates to us. But why emphasize this picture? Paul gives us some insight into this question in Ephesians 5. This chapter is not a particularly popular passage in our culture today, mainly due to the roles it describes for a husband and wife in marriage, especially with the idea of the wife submitting to her husband. But those who quibble with real or perceived sexism in this chapter may have actually missed the point of the passage. Towards the end, Paul says something very interesting, Ephesians 5 verse 32. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Paul spends the latter half of the chapter giving instructions to married men and women, describing what their marriage should look like, and ending with a quote from Genesis 2 about a man and a woman becoming one flesh in marriage. Then he throws in a twist at the end, saying that this doesn't actually have to do with marriage, at least not ultimately. And in case we missed a point, which we so often have, he emphasizes this by then returning to the instructions to the married almost as an aside, something akin to, actual marriage is not what is really the point here. Nevertheless, your marriage should look like what I just described. What is the point? At one level, the passage contains instructions to married people about how they should conduct themselves in their marriage and what a properly functioning marriage should look like. Paul gives instructions to wives to submit to their husbands and for husbands to love their wives. Seems relatively straightforward. But there is something deeper going on here, something that Paul wants us to see in the very meaning of marriage. After giving instructions to each party, Paul then quotes a passage from Genesis 2, the first picture of God through the marriage of Adam and Eve that we noted earlier. Genesis 2 verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This makes sense in context since Paul is instructing married people. But then unexpectedly, Paul tells us that this passage isn't fundamentally about marriage. Rather, the very concept of marriage from the beginning was a mystery that was and is ultimately about Christ and the church. What? What do you mean this mystery is profound? How does Genesis 2 actually refer to Christ and the church, especially when neither Christ nor the church is mentioned in Genesis 2? God is giving us a picture, or rather, our marriages are supposed to be living pictures, representations of God's love and will for mankind to the world, which is embodied in Jesus. Thus, our marriages speak for something deeper than themselves. They speak as a representation of Jesus' love for his people. Whereas it is good to have the marriage that Paul describes here, the good marriage is not the main point. The good marriage, rather, is the signpost pointing us to God. Properly functioning marriages, as described in the chapter, help the world to see God and His love for them. They help us relate to God, giving us an image, a metaphor, a picture to look at and glimpse the divine. Good marriages give us a tangible picture of Jesus and His love for the church. This is why the instructions are rooted and grounded in what Jesus has done for us and our relationship with Him. In Ephesians 5 verses 25 to 31, husbands are instructed to love their wives. But this is not just any kind of love. They are to love their wives with the love that Christ has for the church. Think about it. How does Jesus love us? This is a call to complete self-sacrifice. It's a call for a husband to do good and love his wife even when she may not be returning the favor, just as Jesus went to the cross to die for us while we were yet sinners. It is a love that puts his wife's needs above his own, always seeking the best for her, pursuing her, and lifting her up. It is a love that is supposed to display to the world and to his wife the love that Christ has for his people. Again, stop and think about that, about what is being requested of husbands in this passage. If that's not convincing, then you probably haven't fully grasped Jesus' love for you. Now, it's in this context that we can read Paul's instruction to wives. Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. This is where the culture balks, and perhaps for good reason. Perhaps the reason there is so much pushback against wives being in submission to their husbands today is due to our failure to show the proper picture of God through our marriages. Perhaps it is because so many husbands have not accurately displayed the love of Christ in their marriages. Remember what we just said about the instructions that Paul gives to husbands, which is much longer, perhaps emphasizing the difficulty of the task that husbands have. They are to love their wives as their own body, sacrificing for them, lifting them up, always looking to do what would be best for them. They are to love their wives as Christ loves us. Who wouldn't want to submit to that? If you know your husband truly has your best interests in mind and is daily trying to live out Christ's sacrificial love for you, submission is no longer all that difficult. If you know your husband truly loves you, trusting him is easy. And this submission and trust is a picture of our submission and trust in Jesus, our Lord and King. Just as the church submits to Christ, the wife is to submit to her husband. So both the roles of the husband and wife picture vital details of Christ's love for the church. But we don't even have to stop there. Before Paul addresses husbands and wives in particular, he addresses Christians in general in verses 1 to 21 of this chapter. And do you see what's happening when you read these verses? God is giving us another picture. Our whole life is supposed to represent God. Why? Because we are made in His image. In particular, those of us who have entered into a covenantal relationship with God, who have been given His Spirit, are supposed to represent Jesus to the world through the example of our life. We are walking pictures of the divine. We, quite literally, bear His image to the world. And it is important to note here that part of this picture involves submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, an instruction given to all Christians, not just Christian wives. So in our individual lives, in our relationships, and particularly in our marriages, our calling is to reflect the love of Christ to the world. This should make us take our relationships very seriously. So rather than getting hung up on what might be seen as sexism, we should be thinking about this beautiful relationship that Christ has with the church that He wants us to have in all our relationships. One in which we love, one in which we submit, one in which we trust. How are we to understand God, the Almighty and Infinite One? God gives us pictures. And in this case, we are pictures. So wherever we find ourselves today, in our marriages, in other relationships, or in our individual lives in general, may we ever strive to accurately bear the image of God to the world. The love of God and the God of love calls out to you. Father, fill us with such love for You and for each other that those around us will be drawn to You. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.